I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wrestle me, Peter!
Wrestle me, Mark! I'm surprised we've got any Wrestle Me's left, to be quite frank, after our weekend of Wrestle Me-ing.
Absolutely. What a thrilling weekend of wrestling action it was. There were some big American shows, and yeah. There was one absolutely key British show.
Key is the word.
Yeah. Wrestle Me Live 3. Thanks to everyone who came down. It was great to meet so many of you afterwards as well.
Yes.
One problem with meeting everyone afterwards is I met a load of people, and I was like, oh, what's your name? And I was like, oh, they've got a good story, or, you know, they've really kindly brought me some merch.
Yes.
And I'll give them a shout out. I can't
remember anyone's name.
Too many names.
Too many names, too much booze, too much bird blood. The situation was amusing me because, I mean, I am really sorry that I, straight after the match, I sort of ran up and sort of said hello to as many people as I could.
After
then I had to
turn
after the match, after the Lord Mayor show.
Someone thinks they're a wrestler. Dresses up
match.
As Jimmy Hart once a year. I'm a headliner.
Well, you'll notice, Mark, that the Sharpie that I drew on my face, very much still part of my beard. So not ideal.
100% worth saying, Pete. When it comes to fancy dress, you are the undisputed king of fancy dress.
I've just got a very generic face, haven't I, clearly?
Chameleon-like. Yeah, everyone was saying, well, because CM Punk has debuted for AEW, is Pete going to be CM Punk this year?
Mm.
Are we going to play Cult of Personality and Out You Come?
Yeah.
And then I have to work out what I'm going to do that relates to the sort of modern era. Very difficult. Modern era people tend to be in quite good shape. So when you came out as Jimmy Hart, when I first saw you backstage, when you put it together, I was like, I know he had the bits that looked a bit like Jimmy Hart's stuff.
Mm.
When it all went together, I was like, holy fuck, that's Jimmy Hart. No one has ever said to you, outside of that, oh, you look just like Jimmy Hart.
No, because he's quite a sort of chipmunky sort of looking bloke, isn't he? And I wouldn't say I've got a lot wrong with me, but that's not part of my oeuvre. I will say that whenever you see a stag do at the train station or at the airport, there's always a Jimmy Hart in there. If there's loads of wrestlers.
That's true.
There's always a little Jimmy Hart in there. And I always sort of look at him and I sort of go, I could probably do that one. I could pull that one off.
Yeah. I was at home going through the Albert Hall thing. Kerry Von Erich appeared on the screen.
Yes.
And my wife said, oh, do you know who he looks like? He looks like Richard Bacon. And I was thinking, oh, that would be good. If Richard was over here, we could have had a cameo of him as the Texas Tornado. He wouldn't have understood anything that was going on at all.
No,
very,
but
very
he'd
strange.
Do it, and that's to his credit, to be quite frank.
Rick Edwards also would be able to pull that off, I think.
He's got the stature as well, I would say. Rick Edwards looks like a wrestler.
And I imagine Rick Edwards knew a little bit about wrestling back in the day.
Yes,
he strikes me as the sort of person who would have put a curious eye across it.
A wry eye across
it. If Rick is listening, do let us know whether or not you were interested in wrestling briefly in the early 90s. This is just, at the moment, a supposition and a guess.
Get us on Five Live now you're there. But I would say, I'm really sorry, I just want to point out, I'm really sorry that I couldn't go straight up to the bar and say hello to everybody straight after the show because I had to look after the excellent Clash of the Titans, which the show went very well as well. So.
Yeah, Alex Zane dressed as April Hunter, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles anchor woman.
Yeah, big yellow jumpsuit, didn't have his it didn't need the bra, but he's wearing the bra. I don't know why he's wearing it. It's just any excuse for that lad.
I saw there is.
I would say it's unresolved issues, but or unresolved love for dressing up as a woman. But they're very resolved because he does it all the time.
When we've been to like Halloween, Alex will go, well, obviously it's Halloween. I'm going to dress as a zombie,
and it's always
a zombie sexy nurse.
It's always a zombie sexy nurse, and he gets a lot out of it.
Yep.
The problem is the drunker he gets, the more gusset you see. The more balls, the more penis.
Absolutely
the more,
true. Finished our show, and I was coming out of, I say the dressing room, we didn't get a dressing room.
Oh, yeah, we had a function room.
We just get a function room.
Spray painted it.
When I arrived there, I have to go in there and say, can I, I'm just going to take this room. I have to be a bit of an arsehole about it. And everyone just goes, well, it's not a dressing room. I go, well, no, but you didn't give me one. You know, I don't know why. Is it a rule that if your show sells out, you don't get a dressing room?
Yeah.
That's why all these people have got dressing rooms.
They don't need to be nice to you anymore because you've already sold them out.
So I, as I came out of there after our show, I turned and I saw Chris, who does the show with Alex, Clash of the Titles, and I saw them going in and I saw the back of Alex.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh my God, have they hired models to sort of make it look good? And it was only when I went round the front, I was like, oh my God, that was Alex.
It's Alex.
Jeez. Guys, thanks so much for coming down. As I say, it was so good to meet you all. Some people very, very kindly brought me some merch as well, which I was delighted
at
by.
At the end of the show, people just came to the front of the stage like your Bruce Springsteen and handed over some well-earned merch.
What it made me feel like was a bit like a sort of like a Indian guru who's a fraudster.
Yeah, and collecting money for his church.
Yeah, people were coming up and they were going, here's the deeds to my house because you are very inspirational. And I was like, I will take them.
Yes.
And I touch them on the head.
Yeah.
You know, and then
something out of it, you get something out of it.
You know, then the kids have to sort of unravel that legal knot. But Ross and Hugh and Andy Wright, they were so generous to drop some stuff off. There was some stuff that I've forgotten the names of the people who gave it, so do let me know. Mm. Just drop us a line on Twitter or whatever. There was a brilliant Dynamite Kid in Japan triple DVD set, which is just a beaut.
That's
proper top class.
That is up your street.
Beyond up my street.
That's in your coin.
It's also got the really sort of hard to find ones that were, he happened right at the end of his career.
Right.
Where he turned up in Japan and people were like, oh my God, he looks awful. So I'm like, oh, that is perfect.
That's the stuff,
Couldn't be happier. And there was one chap who really, again, please let me know who you are. He delivered a couple of things which I'm just absolutely obsessed with. One was the 1993 Merlin WWF sticker album. Complete, Pete.
Come on.
Complete. This is a point where they go a bit mad with design. I think computers have just come in. So it's a very busy book.
It is busy, isn't it? That is, you don't need that face. You don't need Lex Luger's face right up close.
They haven't quite got it right. So occasionally they'll put in pictures that are just inexplicable.
Cropped.
So that one there is Bob Backlund with his head cropped off.
Why is this? It's just Bob Backlund's kind of
jacket
jumper sort of thing.
But then when you get to the one of Luna, you go, oh, you've made a terrible decision there. That is just
her tits.
Just boobies. Just a sort of like, it says Luna Vachon underneath it, and it's just a shot of her boobs.
Wow.
Terrible, isn't it?
Amazing.
It's so beautiful. It's just absolutely lovely. The other thing that the unknown benefactor dropped off was a 1993 WCW wrestling annual.
That looks nice and colourful.
Now, most of this is reprints of the American comic book series that ran for about 12 episodes.
Okay.
They are surprisingly good.
Yeah.
They are quite sort of action-filled. And I've seen that before, and often, like UK annuals.
Drawn by Daniel Claus. Very confusing.
It's just about wrestlers making sort of awkward social faux pas. Yeah. A lot of the American annuals used to be sort of like, if you were into Marvel, you'd get two American comic books and they just stick them in a British hardback.
Yes,
and
go, okay,
you know,
right.
Knock yourself out. Mm. But occasionally what you get in them is they go, well, we've got a few pages left to fill and we can't fit another issue in.
Mm.
And so what you get is you get profiles of like Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah,
and
who wouldn't want that?
And you get sort of, it opens with a double page picture of Doom. But it's really a candid snap, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit blurry.
It's taken by a fan, I think. Like the vantage point is much too low for a grown human.
It is. And everyone's in the middle of talking, so all their mouths are a bit like, whoa. But there is something in here which is quite brilliant.
Right.
It's a text story with accompanying illustrations. So you know it's the British thing. It's been done dirt cheap.
Okie dokie.
It's by a guy who calls himself Bamboss.
Bamboss. Like an amalgamation of a few different wrestlers there.
Yeah, it's a one word. Bamboss. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Booker Prize winner, Bamboss. And Bamboss has written a story called Sting's Metal Mayhem.
Ooh.
And it's it tells you the story of when Paulie Dangerously builds a cyborg to have a match with Sting.
Right.
Now, basically, if we don't get the live show audio from the venue before Thursday...
We're just going to read this out.
I'm going to go home and read this out, yeah. And then I'll put it up.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it is a thrilling bout. A lot of build-up, two pages of build-up.
Right, before a match happens.
Half a page of actual match, yeah. And but it's going to be a thriller. So he's that will like be green, a little hold off moment.
He's got like green abs.
Yeah, it's a robot.
It's a robot.
You've got to have green abs. Yes, it has, isn't it? They look a little abs. Bit like they might be full of some kind of petrol.
Yeah, like a green kind of barbiturate.
Yeah, oddly, the robot doesn't like being hit, which is a strange, very, very complex program.
Yeah,
to make it that your robot doesn't like getting hit, that you shouldn't have put in if you want it to be a wrestler.
Make it like just sort of go, like just ignore it. He's like, oh, have you knocked the block off?
Yes.
And I imagine Sting wins.
Oh, don't oh, well, sorry, I mean, sorry, I mean, you know, there'll sorry, be many Mark. Twists and turns, Pete. This isn't Bambos's first day at the rodeo. Yeah. Oh man! But yeah,
show the mechanical bull.
the mechanical bull that somehow they'd made it so it didn't like people riding it.
Ah, get off me, my back! Ow,
my backy hurt. Oh, good news. Well, look, we're going to be back to. I'm sure a lot of people are actually there, just going, well, I didn't care about your stupid live show.
I couldn't go, and I didn't want to go. I want you to talk about the next show in the fucking Patreon.
Yeah, please. That's actually what I'm paying for. Well, you can shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
About to do it, aren't we?
You got two episodes last week, so suck my dick. Right? Suck my metal dick.
Oh, I've got an inbuilt program where I don't like it. We're going to be looking at Money in the Bank 2020 from the 10th of May 2020. Mm-hmm. After WrestleMania 36, this was the next pandemic pay-per-view.
Yes.
So the one where they've slightly gone, well, WrestleMania worked out surprisingly well.
Let's do it cheaper.
Let's do it cheaper. And also, we've got a lot of confidence. So we just go, oh, we know how this works now.
Yes, this went very well. People are talking about this. The hashtag was used quite a lot,
yeah,
for good and bad.
Yeah. This took place, it was going to take place at the Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore, Maryland.
Right.
And even after WrestleMania, they were like, oh, we'll probably be doing it there. Mm. And then Maryland were like, no, we're shutting all of the sports things. And WWE, in the pandemic, they didn't cover themselves with glory.
No.
They were always waiting for the venues to go, it's actually not possible, before they went, well, okay.
We wanted to do it.
A big, big contrast with a place like Ring of Honor, which, you know, really did. I mean, it took a pounding during the pandemic, but it's been absolutely across the board, you know, doing the right thing for its performers and for the fans.
Yeah.
WWE less keen on that. So what if I say Money in the Bank 2020, Pete, what was your general impression of this? How did you feel the show went?
I think it started really poorly, I think, and then there's a good match in the middle. It gets better.
Mm.
The things I liked about it aren't wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
The matches that I enjoyed aren't wrestling. No. Just dicking about.
Yes.
And the things I found charming about those parts are only charming if it's a live event.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that could have been done. That was probably refilmed again and again, wasn't it?
So, yeah.
Not so good.
There's quite a lot of, like, certainly the main event where you sort of feel like it's a bit embarrassing to think of them going, okay, we're going to do this bit now. And they
and you've got to go,
that's okay. We'll leave that one. And I just imagine the whole thing was filmed, and rather than people going, that was brilliant,
yeah,
everyone was going, okay.
Look, we got everything we needed to get.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Do you want me there's really no need. No.
You know when you've done a great job when the director goes, no, it's fine. And he delivers it like that. No, it's fine, Pete.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Yeah. Shall we just put some screens over the top of that video, Pete, of you talking, and then we can just edit it all together. I thought I remembered everything. You don't need to do cuts. I remembered everything. And I delivered it flawlessly.
Yeah.
Scum.
And when you see it go out, it's like a woman doing what you did. Really heartbreaking.
It's a robot. It's Paulie Dedrick's robot.
So this has been like, because the cinematic matches at WrestleMania 36 went down so well.
Yeah.
Someone actually at the live show, and I'm immediately going back to it, but it is relevant.
Mm.
Someone said to me, I listened to the last episode where you were talking about Bray Wyatt's cinematic match.
Right.
They said, are you seriously telling me you like Bray Wyatt now as a result of this, you know, that match with John Cena? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're in the Firefly Funhouse.
I am.
Just don't know. You're so confused. You don't know what's up or down.
You do not know which, you know, I mean, am I a puppet? am I a Huskus pig now?
Why does Huskus pig have like shit all over his mouth?
I think it's chocolate because he's a greedy pig.
Right. But okay, I
could
see.
Be shit. Could he be might be a shit. Real could greedy be. Pig. Haskell's eaten all the chocolate. Now it's time to work on the excrement. Cheaper. I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, do I? Or is it just that match? I got. They also said, like, I listened to everything you said. They said, but don't forget the match was shit. And I was like, oh my God, have I been bewitched by the fiend?
But was it? There wasn't a match in there, though, was there?
Well, I mean, I sort of said that. I know, wrestling. It isn't wrestling.
No, yeah.
I thought it was good.
You can steal it. That was the most interesting thing on that bloody show.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. So I was quite pleased, actually, that Bray Wyatt is coming up in this, because I was like, oh, I can actually see whether or not I like him.
Yeah.
And whether or not it is just that match. Have I changed?
Yes.
Well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out.
Yeah.
This was inspired by those two well-received cinematic matches from WrestleMania 36. Mm. And so they went, well, do you know what we could do? We could take it up a step and we can actually have an action movie.
Yeah.
So it follows on really from the Undertaker's Boneyard match. But they go, we can do this and make it like loads of people and it will just seem like an all-action spectacular.
Shall we hire a soundstage? Shall we do Green Street? No, let's do it in the office.
Yes.
Do it in the freaking office.
I like the thing about the office because it reminded me of when I was a kid. And really into wrestling, I was like, God, imagine if you could shut the school at the weekend.
Yeah.
And then you could just around. Go, you know, it's a whole big thing. And I think if you ever had a camcorder, you would sort of go, you know, even in the early 90s before the Attitude Era, you'd be like, oh, and it's a fight that takes place down by the river, you know, all that sort of thing. And that's what it felt like to me.
Pound stretchers.
Yeah. This had never really been done before where they'd gone, we will just go, you're going to fight all over the building. And that was sort of exciting. I like the fact that they sort of go, we're going to put you basically have to fight your way from the ground floor all the way to the top, and we're going to have ladders on the top, and so you have to climb the corporate ladder. And I thought, yeah, that's good. Yeah. I like that. That's very neat, and that all works. Really worryingly, though, when this kicks off, they have some shonky CGI sort of like titles of the building.
Yes.
With CGI flags on the top, and you go, oh no, they haven't had long enough to do this.
No.
They've really made a fucking disaster here. Then you suddenly cut to bits of the office, the lobby, and you start seeing the real headquarters. For me, I was like, this is the best thing. I was so into it. Big statue of like Andre the Giant made out of
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, Huskers chocolate.
Yeah, it does look just like chocolate. It's like chocolate.
Quite cheap Kinnerton chocolate. It does have a homemade backyardy feel to filming it in your own offices because they're there and they're cheap.
Yeah.
But what was really funny about it is, apart from like the pictures on the walls.
Oh, it's so generic.
It's so
such
generic.
Such a generic WeWork style fucking.
Isn't
like,
it?
It was like where we record now and where you were used to recording in
a Regis.
Yeah, it's a Regis.
What it lacks is any sort of bit where you go, oh, there's an office where someone works.
Oh,
you know.
Even the places that are supposed to be offices where, you know, Vince McMahon works, for example.
Yeah.
It's not really an office.
No.
It just looks like another function room.
It's loads and loads of meeting rooms.
It just looks like if they needed to skip town, they could do it really quickly.
Oh, yeah. There was nothing in that office.
Stuff.
You would get there and you would go, I've broken in and I'm going to steal it. Obviously go for Vince McMahon's office. It's got a genuine T-Rex skull on the wall. But after that, there is nothing. You'd just be like, oh, I've got a sort of like a poster print of WrestleMania 32 that was on the wall. There is nothing in there. Nothing.
Very unlovable.
There didn't seem to be any telephones. Just a weird place.
It's a really weird kind of like face. It's a hot desk-y kind of place.
So many empty rooms. I know they've dressed some of them, but every room that they opened that wasn't part of the we're going to fight in here, every time you saw in, you just went, it's just empty. It's just stripped.
PlayStation 1 game. It's like so kind of like, we'll reuse the assets. There's that pot plant again.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home.
To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's transfer deadline day. Ashwood City are drifting under manager Sven-Göran Eriksson and chief executive Patrick Nolan is willing to do whatever it takes to turn things round.
Oh, look, it's just for a season or two, you know. We get them really cheap, you know, 10% of what they're worth in some cases. And, I mean, the sponsors it would attract as well as the cachet.
Patrick Nolan, MBE, stop talking. This is a fucking Tevez and Mascherano player heist.
In the award-winning football mockumentary The Offensive, the thick of it meets the Premier League and things are about to reach breaking point in the boardroom.
That's the rules, Woody.
Oh, so now we like the rules, do we?
Woody, you can't just move a piece and make up how to play.
Well, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
No, move that back.
Fucking get off, don't touch my pieces, you're cheating.
What, you're cheating?
Cheating. That's
oh
an invasion
God.
Of
I'm
my pieces,
cheating.
That.
You're
Stop
cheating.
Fingering my bishop, you
oh
don't know what he's
God.
Mean.
It's not... Oh...
Start your Ashwood City journey and listen to The Offensive wherever you get your podcasts.
The Offensive is a Stack production.
I spend quite a lot of time looking at the headquarters on Google Street View.
Right, okay.
A couple of reasons for that. One is it's in a part of Stamford, Connecticut that's got a big main road that goes past it. And obviously, yeah. as a company that is a touring company, what you need is the ability to get your trucks in and out, you know, back on the road.
Yeah.
I'd looked at it first because there was a story in the early 90s where Alfred Hayes was crossing the road. Outside the headquarters, and he got hit by a car,
right.
And he had to have a lot of. He broke his back and his hip, and he basically lost a couple of inches after they'd done the sort of surgery to correct him.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Where was he walking to?" Oh, because this looks like it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Over the road is a place called the Beverage Barn. It's a single-story liquor store. So Alfred was obviously off to sort of,
the Beverage Barn.
Just get some cherry brandy. bang. But what I noticed is I was reading a book by Hulk Hogan's wife, and she mentions when they first signed with the WWF, they decided to buy a house right near the corporate headquarters.
Mm.
And there's a road that runs off the main road, which the sort of is the corner of the corporate headquarters, which is called Houston Terrace. And I sort of go, it'd be fun to have a holiday home right next to the WWF. Even on Google
Airbnb,
Street View.
Surely.
Yeah, well, even on Google Street View, you can see they leave they've left the loading bay open and there's loads of boxes in there. And you go, if I'm going to do successful thefts, I am going to be. That is the perfect position to be.
You could literally sort of like stake it out for months.
Oh,
you?
Completely, yeah. Completely. Mm. Now, Houston Terrace in Stamford, Connecticut, has got these beautiful sort of traditional 1950s clapperboard American, just gorgeous houses, and they go between $300,000 and $500,000.
Fucking hell,
Pete!
Wowzers,
Pete. It's a business expense.
It is a business expense. In fact, I'm looking on Airbnb now. I'm typing in the postcode of the is it the Titan Towers they call it?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm typing in a weekend of like October the 14th, starting on Thursday, ending on the 17th. Could we get an Airbnb as close as we can to Titan Towers in Stamford, Connecticut? And the answer is yes. There's a lot of them.
Great.
There's a lot of them.
I mean, I think it's a great... I still want to do an American road trip where we just go to all the places that are key on the American wrestling sort of history.
All the funeral homes.
All the funeral homes. Let's go and do, you know, the Von Erichs graves. I mean, if you're doing graves, you're going to need to book a few weeks out.
Look, here it is. That's where the Titan Towers is.
Mm.
That's the closest Airbnb. That's like one road away.
One road away.
It's one, good God, private room in Stamford with amenities. near the beach.
If we went there every day to the headquarters and kept on saying we're from Britain. Can we go up one floor each time we come here?
Yes, we're the illegitimate sons of Lord Alfred Hayes. And he's hosted by Tito, this guy.
Tito Santana?
Tito Santana, could be. I might give him a contact. I've got an excellent Airbnb score. He'd love to have
one. Good anyway. Work. All I'm basically laying the groundwork is that we will have a rest on the house.
Yes. It's going to be like one of those influencer houses.
We could call it Titan Towers 2. And that way, there's a chance that a lot of posts would be misdirected. Another
cease and desist.
another wrestler saying they weren't an independent contractor. It's a letter from their lawyers. I'm going to put that in the bin. So the first match that we have is the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The New Day, who are in this, are Big E and Kofi Kingston, versus Lucha House Party of Grand Metalik and Kalisto, versus Miz and Morrison versus the Forgotten Sons.
Miz and Morrison.
Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake with Jackson Riker. What? As their chum.
Why have the New Day become a two now? What's going on?
I think Xavier Woods was injured at this point, and so they have gone to a two. You're right, they normally are a three. They have essentially what's called free bird rules, where any sort of, you know, two of them can defend the bits and bobs.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But a couple of things about that. I mean, they mentioned that the New Day have won the tag team titles, they sort of say, a couple of weeks ago. Just meaningless flip-flopping of those tag team titles is really annoying. And when you have four teams suddenly just fighting for the belts, it really emphasises that there's no real direction in the tag team. You just go, everyone have a go at it.
Yeah.
And then one of you will win it. And then one of you will win it off them. And it's just a sort of like a boring mess. This match really looks like it's filmed in a garage.
It really does.
Everyone's
it's
very colourful as well. Yes. And it's a bit kids' TV. It looks really, really cheap and shonky.
Yeah, and I didn't enjoy this match at all, really, but Grand Metalik was doing his best.
He was doing his best. It's absolutely 100% the case that the better you are, the more they'll ignore you.
Yes.
And Grand Metalik in this is absolutely the standout performer.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I think they have him pinned.
Yes.
Couldn't be worse.
Never give a shit. I like, I Googling John Morrison, who I don't know a huge amount about, like any sort of modern wrestler, I suppose. He's had a lot of nicknames. He's had a lot of gimmicks. John Hennigan, Morrison, Blackcraft, Blaze, Impact, Mundo, Nitro, Onyx, Spade, Superstar, and Ultra.
Yeah.
Just a lot of...
He's good, John Morrison. He's a great sort of performer, but there is something about him that you just sort of go, it's always very exciting when he turns up and you go, oh good, he's going to have a good run. And then two matches in, you're a bit like, I can do without this.
Has this film come out yet?
Yeah, no.
The Iron Sheik Massacre.
Yeah. That is really, I think that's the thing I'm waiting for the most in his career.
Well, yeah, it's kind of gone a bit quiet. I had a little Google and it's about a film. We've spoken about it before, I think. Focuses on an Iron Sheik toy voiced by the outspoken WWE Hall of Famer himself as it becomes sentient and targets a group of new school wrestlers who've been insulted, who have been insulted the way the things have done in the past.
Oh my God, if that's the PR sheet, imagine what the film's going to be like.
Good God.
Good Lord. So it's about, it's child's play, but instead of children, it's about young wrestlers.
Yes.
Mate.
Write what you know.
This is the sort of period as well where they talk about John Morrison's drip all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And that in 2020, in the middle of 2020, probably sounded sort of like new.
Yes.
A year on, Pete, it's all everybody's talking about Seth Rollins drip.
Oh, right.
John Morrison is also referred to as Johnny Drip Drip. And it's all this, I mean, it's just...
Does he have more spectacular clothes than anyone else?
No, not really. I mean, it's just, it's almost like they've cottoned onto it and they've gone, this actually makes us sound young.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
Why don't we have a wrestler who's obsessed with Ariana Grande, like the young people? It's so sort of witless. And every time they say it, it's like ashes in Michael Cole's mouth.
They can't sell that.
Corey Graves talking about the, you know, he's hey, it's Johnny Drip Drip. It's like, oh, you. Do you know what it's like? It's like... sloppy steaks. It's all that sort of fucking, can I have water on my steak that I think you should leave now. The
yes.
Tim Robinson
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, he's got a drip drip. It's all wet and moist and crap. It's very annoying. The best bit about the whole thing is Big E is starting a thing where he takes off his jacket and then he whips it as hard as he can at Corey Graves' head. And
I'm all for that.
It's obviously something he's done that he's sort of gone, that's got over and I'll keep doing it. And on this one, he gets Corey Graves much too hard. hard. And the jacket whips into Corey Graves. It knocks his headphones off. And he's like, that almost knocked me out of my chair. And Michael Cole is delighted by it. Oh. But obviously, someone must have had to have a word and sort of go.
Don't they?
Yeah, Biggie.
Calm it down,
Biggie. Yeah, just, you know, I know it's funny. We all like it. We all do like it. But you hurt Corey quite badly the last
time. He's going to have to do a lot of meditation tonight.
Corey Graves is going, that jacket weighs about 14 pounds. It's really good. The ones that we should talk about, we've not seen before, the Forgotten Sons.
Yes.
They are they were an NXT group, and they are basically, they portray themselves as military veterans who have been forgotten about since their return to society. Mm. Two of them are military veterans. Steve Cutler was a Marine from 2007 to 2011, and Jackson Riker, he was a machine gunner who served as a Marine in the Iraq War. So they do have two of the military experience. Wesley Blake, none. Doesn't have any.
Okay, just coming along for the ride.
But he's going along with it. They are pretty new. A new call up to WWE. They probably were going to get a push, but Jackson Riker, in a month's time, will derail it entirely.
Right.
So during the sort of aftermath, the immediate aftermath of the murder of George Floyd, there was a lot of protests, and there was the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And when that was at its very peak, Jackson Riker went on Twitter. And he wrote, thankful for the President of the United States we have. God bless America, built of freedom, forgotten no more. It was the wrong time to sort of go, I align myself with the man that is, you know, basically...
strolling out the White House while
supporting the police
while militarized police shovel people into the floor.
Yeah, and what's really unusual about this is he put that up, and of course WWE is a pro-Trump company. Mm-hmm. They work very closely, the McMahons, with Trump. What was really funny about it is it was such an incendiary tweet that most of the locker room simply went for him. And... for example, Kevin Owens. Now, remember, Kevin Owens is a big star. Mm-hmm. He's WWE. Mm-hmm. His Twitter is followed by a load of kids and everything. He wrote in response to that tweet, he wrote, I need to tell you, I think you're pushing your shitty wrestling catchphrase as all of this is happening is absolutely fucking pathetic. Mustafa Ali, he wrote, I'm thankful you posted this because I'm now aware of what you stand for. When black brothers and sisters are crying, you praise someone who refuses to acknowledge their hurt. And then his tag team partner, Steve Cutler, had to come forward. And Steve said, I mean, this is a hard thing to
it's
be between, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although I'm part of a tag team while I wrestle, I am my own person with my own thoughts and beliefs. Oh, no. It pains me to see what's going on in the world. I fought for the freedom of our country and all the people who live here. We're all human beings and all deserve to be equal. Hashtag justice for George Floyd. Wesley Blake also tweeted in support of the BLM movement over what Jackson Riker had written. In the aftermath of that, people started going through his social media. Of course they did.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
I mean, you'd think they'd be doing that anyway, but it just puts a little pep in people's step, doesn't it?
It does. And there were two things he'd put up that were really flagged up. One was that he'd watched 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. And he'd basically said, I don't know what everyone's going on about. Really?
Watch the film, mate.
Yes.
I don't know what everyone's going on about.
Are you sure you saw 12 Years a Slave and didn't go into a different screening room? And the second thing he did was there was a picture of him where he was either incredibly tanned or in a strange shadow.
Okay.
And so his skin looked as if it was very, very dark. Mm. And he'd written underneath Soul Man. And Soul Man is a quite bad 80s film about a guy who is white, who I think takes a pill and he becomes black overnight.
Yeah.
And it's all about, it was written originally as a damning and scathing sort of
in the way black people are treated in America.
In a sort of comedy 87. But the guy who'd written it, that was the first draft. And by the time it came out, it was all full of people, you know, basically jokes where the guy is like, I'm going to do a rap. It was a nightmare for that guy. So that came up. But that happened to you. And I was like, when I saw that picture, I don't know what that is, but that picture that was taken of us backstage, where you're further behind me, the flash has gone bang onto me. My body has sucked all of the flash out. And you're there, and it does look, someone said, has Pete blacked up?
Like, I blacked
and I looked at it, and I went, oh yeah, it does look a bit like that. But then you look at your hands, and your hands are in a different place, but yeah, the same colour. And it does
an amazing
look like you've
picture.
Done it.
I've never seen anyone look like that before.
It was amazing.
It was incredible.
There was, if you'd have then
Thanks
tweeted
Zoe
that.
From the podcast festival, getting me cancelled.
If you'd have tweeted that with underneath Soul Man, and then I'd have gone through your thing and you'd have been a bit like, oh, I went and saw 12 Years a Slave, I think, yeah, you know, that is the problem here with Jackson Ryker. Of those three men in The Forgotten Sons, whose push was immediately cancelled and they just drifted away, of the three of them, who do you think is the only one still employed by the WWE?
Oh, you're kidding me. Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ,
Jackson Ryker.
Why do they do this?
I don't know. I mean, I do feel for the other two. They had their push entirely derailed for no reason of their own. Yeah, and
you get the feeling that, like, when big subjects like that come up, it's almost kind of like good because the rest of the locker room can find their voice a little bit and sort of feel confident.
Completely.
To do the right thing, I think, sometimes. So
I think there was, at the time, they were saying they can't sack him for what he said because it's a freedom of speech issue. And the reality is, you know, I'm sure a lot of, you know, Vince McMahon would be like, I'm not going to sack someone for saying what we all think. So he stayed around. I didn't mind this match at all because I just think the one thing about it is it was all action. I don't think I saw Miz do anything in it.
No, Miz was kind of quite anonymous, but they usually like to focus on him way too much.
They really do. There's my favourite little bit is I think they're talking about excuses that are made by John Morrison for why things haven't gone well. Yeah. And Michael Cole just said, Mr. Excuse should be his rap name. And I like that people who don't like have no interest in rap or hip-hop, they think all rappers are called Mr. and then a noun. So it's like, you know, I'm Mr. Hot, or you should be called Mr. Angry, not a bad rap name.
Yeah.
No one's called Mr. anything.
It's the more simple person's version of Grit Album. You know, it's kind of like really boilerplate.
Sounds like a band that should be 10th on the bill at the John Peel stage. That is a very easy way of doing it. Yeah, there's a quick bit where Jackson Ryker is, who is the third man. It's just bad timing. Michael Cole just goes, this is a no disqualification match. And then the referee just goes, Jackson Ryker, you're out of here. Like that. And Jackson Ryker goes, ah! And the commentators, because they've just said that, go, well, what are they going to do?
That one out?
What's he going to do?
Yeah.
So they can do anything. So why are they getting rid of him? And the commentators just go, I'm just going to sit here in silence. Not going to.
Not going to bother. Yeah, just not let it hang in the air. Like a big turd. So is this bit wasn't live, no? I was just proving. Is
was
this not
it
all pre-recorded?
Live? No, I don't know. This may have been live by this point because they were probably more sort of used to. The other thing, of course, is that it's harder to do with WrestleMania. It was important that they got that done because obviously it's WrestleMania. But I think by this point they're still making 3 hours of Raw. You know, 2 hours of SmackDown, an hour of 205 Live, and everything. Mm. And I should just imagine there isn't time in the schedule to do anything but live. Of course, by that point they're used to doing the live stuff.
Yeah.
So I imagine this is all live.
So this, I've just checked. It was live. The ladder matches were pre-recorded April 15th.
The ladder match was pre-recorded.
I know, right?
That would have been hilarious to do live. I mean, what a absolute shit show that would have been. So look, that is the first match of Money in the Bank 2020. It was full of chat about Black Lives Matter.
As you well expect.
Yeah, in fact, this was, of course, the whole kerfuffle that made Randy Orton come out as being a huge supporter of Black Lives Matter and doing a very, very well-worded post where he was saying, I used to think that all lives matter encompassed that, he said, but no, I realised that it didn't. He
Good
finished with a line just saying, until Black Lives Matter, then
all lives matter.
You know, all lives can't matter. Mm. So, this was part of the absolute sort of, like, you know, radiation.
Redemption arc.
The redemption of Randy Orton. it was good. Good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. So, look, if you fancy getting on the Patreon, it'll either be our live show this week or next week, but either way, you get it in this billing round, or it'll be me reading out the story of when Sting met a robot. Yes. And, well, I mean, I know which I'd rather hear.
You sound like the CFO of WWE. It's in this billing round. Because it's money in the bank, baby.
It's money in the bank.
We'll check our pitch.
I made a terrible error, which is to read the story. I have actually built a wrestling robot. I wanted to get into the headspace of knowing what it would be like.
Bam Man or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I'm not very good at coding, and it just tries to bum dogs.
Wrestle me,
wrestle
dog bummers.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.